Father, as always, once again, we thank you because the entrance of your word does indeed give light and understanding. So let that be today in Jesus' name. Amen. So this is part of our, you know, Pillars of Wisdom series. Some of you have heard it once, twice, or even more. You know, but there may be some who have not heard it. But even if you have heard it, it's a good thing to hear parts of it again. Just like reading the Bible. You can't read a place in the Bible once in your life and say, well, that's it. I'm never going to read again. You know. So the Lord will continue to bring fresh things, you know, to those who are, you know, worthy seekers and loving inquirers. He would continually reveal fresh things to us. You know, Word of Prophecy told us that. So today, let's embark on this Inspire series. This series is based on the Pillars of Wisdom series, which the Lord has given me to teach. And I've taught it from time to time here on this platform, once or twice. At our church, at least once, and we're bringing one of these pillars today on the heels of yesterday's lesson. Sometime during the lesson yesterday, it was revealed to me that I would be doing this understanding series, especially to cover some aspects which I call hindsight, insight, and foresight, you know, which matches the lesson from yesterday on past, present, and future. All right, let's get into it. I'm going to take it like a Bible study. So get your notes out because there's a lot of scriptures. Yeah, it'll be in a series. I may or may not finish in one day, but we're going to do the best we can to cover as much as we can. Understanding is a pillar of wisdom. It's one of the pillars of wisdom. And these pillars of wisdom, they are described to us throughout the scriptures, but mostly in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 1 says, you know, it gives us the information. It's a lead of scripture. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 1 is a lead of scripture that talks about the seven pillars of wisdom. And you know that the book of Proverbs is written mostly around the subject of wisdom anyway. But in this place, he calls it out point blank. Wisdom hath builded her house. She had hewn out her seven pillars. Well, in this particular place, he didn't tell us what the seven pillars are. That's for us to find out. You know, so we find out by looking at other scriptures. You know, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 12 and 14. Reveal some of these. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 6. And Proverbs chapter 4, verses 5 to 13. I'm going to read some of them quickly, but then I'm really going to today focus on understanding. So let's take a look at Proverbs, you know, chapter 8. And begin to see what he has to say about these pillars. I, wisdom, Proverbs 8 and 12, dwell with prudence. So we see that prudence is one of them. And find out knowledge of witty inventions. So we see also that, you know, knowledge is one of it. What about the fear of the Lord? Well, that's actually my first pillar of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in an evil way. And the fraud, what do I hate? What about counsel? Counsel is mine. And I said, sound wisdom. Well, I call it sound judgment. You know, then there is understanding. Say, I have understanding, you know, I have strength. And all these pillars is what gives, you know, strength to the house. You know, so the way I put it out, I used an acronym to help us remember what these pillars are. I call it a memory helper acronym. And so there are 7 pillars, not necessarily in this order, but just a nice sounding acronym. KUPDCSF. You know, so it just kind of sounds nice. Also, because, you know, somewhere in Arizona, a long time ago, don't know if they still exist, they used to have a radio station called KUPD. That's why they has call letters. So KUPDCSF. K is for knowledge. U is for understanding. P is for prudence. D is for discretion. C is for counsel. You know, S is for sound judgment. F is the fear of the Lord. And anytime I teach this series, I actually always start with the fear of the Lord, because that's the beginning of wisdom. Can't go anywhere without it. Okay. So that gives you a background. But today I'm picking out just one, which is understanding. Because as part of this understanding, I want to talk about hindsight, insight, and foresight as it relates to past, present, and future on the heels of yesterday's lesson. So let's take a look at understanding. Well, first of all, we see that it is a pillar of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4 will give you clearly about understanding. Now, the understanding that the scripture defines here is such a precious thing. By the time we go through, you see the way that the scripture calls out understanding. And I might give a definition from the dictionary, but I will also give a definition from the Holy Spirit. That's right. So when I put together this series, you know, sometime back, the Lord gave me, you know, some definitions. I added them to the definitions that the dictionary brought, put it all together, and out came out the series. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 24 and take a look at, you know, verses 3 and 4. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now you can see how it pairs wisdom and understanding together. You can build a house through wisdom, but understanding is what establishes it. You know, so right away you see that it's a pillar of wisdom. It is what makes wisdom the principal thing, and you must pursue it rigorously. According to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, we are told, you know, that, I mean, you all know that it says that wisdom is the principal thing. But what is the enabler that makes wisdom the principal thing? Well, it is understanding. It says right here, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. So wisdom is the principal thing. But, you know, with all your getting, get understanding. So understanding is actually the enabler, you know, for wisdom in order for it to be the principal thing. So take a note of that scripture. It is very rare and priceless. I mean, nobody really knows where it can be found, but God does. You can read, there is a good teaching or lesson in the book of Job chapter 28. It talks about, you know, from about verse 12. There's a lot of things it has to say about wisdom. Let's just read some of it. You know, Job chapter 28, looking at it from verse 12 and trying to figure out, well, where do we, if understanding is so key, where do we find it? I'm going to explain understanding in a bit, but this is just a preamble around understanding. Well, it talks about wisdom. Where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? You can see how he put understanding right next to it. He said, well, man doesn't know the price thereof, neither it is found in the land of the living. The deep said, it's not in me. The sea said, it's not in me. It cannot be gotten for gold, and I shall see where be weighed for it, not for the price thereof. You know, and so on and so forth. He said, well, you know, where are you going to find it? Describes all these things. You know, but where's cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Ask again in verse 20. Seeing that it is hid from the eyes of all living, and kept close from the fowls of the air, you know, and so on. Well, it begins to say, destruction and death say, well, we've heard the fame of it with our ears, but, you know, where does it really come from? Well, God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. That's right. So the Lord knows where you can find understanding. And we're going to, in this series, cover how to get understanding. You know, the Lord said to man, he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. That's at the end of that chapter, Job 28 and 28. The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. You can see how great understanding can be. Well, let's try to put some definitions together. Now that we know that it can only come from the Lord, you can't find it anywhere else. You know, so it can be called, understanding can be described as the ability of deep comprehension, perception, and discernment. You know, the ability to have all those things. It is the knowledge of or familiarity with a particular thing. Could also be described as skill in dealing with or handling something. It's a superior power of discernment or enlightened intelligence. Now, this is all this, that understanding. You know, I got some of it from the dictionary, added some of it to from the Holy Spirit, put it out there. You know, deep comprehension, perception, discernment, knowledge of or familiarity with a particular thing, the skill in dealing with or handling something, and its superior power of discernment and or enlightened intelligence. Now, just about every day on this platform, when I pray, I quote this verse in Psalm 119 and verse 130. You know, that you'll find out the reason in today's lesson, perhaps the reason why I always quote it, because, you know, once I figured out how powerful understanding is, I couldn't stop talking about it, and I couldn't stop praying about it for myself. And when I read the Word of God, that's why you hear me say it every single day. I always say the entrance of God's Word brings light and gives understanding. Psalm 119 and verse 130. Hear me say it every single day. I said already today, we are commanded and instructed to not lean on our own understanding and trust the Lord for inspiration instead. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. What about Psalm 111 and verse 10? I hope you are taking notes because I'm going through many scriptures here. Psalm 111 and verse 10. Those that do God's commandments will get good understanding. Again, this is telling us that, look, understanding is hidden inside the commandments of the Lord. When you do His commandments, you figure out understanding. You know, knowledge and understanding come from the Lord. But we have to seek after these things diligently. If you read in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, let's take a quick look at that. You will see what it says again about, you know, how to look for these things. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. You can see that, you know, always puts understanding right there. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, that's another pillar, and lifted up thy voice to understanding, if thou seek after her as silver and searches for her as three treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And then you will find the knowledge of God. My goodness. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So that's where you find it. You find it no other place. You know, so it comes from the Lord like that. You know, Job was asking his question, you know, where can you find it and so on? Well, you know, here is the answer. This is how we find it. Well, let's read Proverbs chapter 4. Let's read verses 5 to 7. Again, if you are joining us, we're on the subject of understanding. Now, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5. Remember, we read verse 7 earlier. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, for she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Now we read verse 7 earlier. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all your getting, get understanding. You know, so as you keep these things in mind, you just see how powerful understanding is. Well, let's read, you know, one of my favorite verses, the subject of understanding and inspiration. And the Inspire series actually comes out of this next verse that I'm about to read. And I hold this thing dear to my heart. Some of you have heard me say things around it. Powerful stuff, you know, and it's just amazing what you can dig out of this scripture and how it can work for you. Job chapter 32 and verse 8, my all-time favorite scripture on this subject, you know. Now, Elihu, you know, one of the friends, but the youngest of the ones that surrounded Job, you know, during all that stuff that Job was going through, well, we're told that he said, look, because you guys are older than me, you know, I actually waited for you to speak, you know, but he wasn't impressed, after all, you know, by the older people. So finally he said, look, I know I am young and you guys are older, so I was afraid and I did not want to show my opinion. I said, days you speak, a multitude of years you teach wisdom. This is verse 7 of Job chapter 32. He said, look, I was waiting for days to speak. And he put days in capital D. You know, that's those of you who are older. I'm looking for you to speak. I'm looking for a multitude of years to teach wisdom. But, you know, that's not really where it comes from. But where does it really come from? But there's a spirit in man. Hallelujah. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. I want you to learn that scripture as a memory verse. Job 32 and verse 8. The inspiration of the Almighty gives understanding. Later on in the Inspire series, we'll get a chance. I'll get a chance to give you some testimonies around that, you know. But it's a great man are not always wise, neither are the aged always the ones that understand judgment. But where is the real source of understanding? It's embedded in the light that comes from God. The Holy Spirit will put it in your heart. The Word of God also, you know, put it in your heart. But that is called inspiration. You can be inspired by the Holy Spirit telling you something directly. You can be inspired from the Word of God. However that inspiration comes, that's what gives you understanding. Well, let's look at, you know, some of the things around understanding. Now, if I were teaching this series of pillars of wisdom from the scratch, I would have told you certain things, which I'm going to tell you now. I skipped a lot of it because I wasn't doing the entire series. But, you know, a house needs a foundation and needs pillars. You know, there's some things they call load-bearing columns and different things in construction and so on. Now, when you begin to see cracks in the wall, and cracks here and there, it could be a defect in the way the thing was conducted, or it could be an indication that the pillars are weak and not holding up properly. Now, there are many cracks that we could, you know, point out in our lives. You know, a house, which could be your life, your marriage, etc., is built by wisdom, according to Proverbs 24, verse 3. But really, it is understanding, according to verse 4, that establishes it. So you can go in to marriage, for instance, you know, and then, but if you have no understanding, you know, that marriage may not last. So understanding is so key. When the scripture talks about that, you know, dwell with your wife according to understanding and knowledge and so forth. You gotta have understanding. Now, I'm going to look at some examples of where God gave understanding and knowledge and so forth to people. You know, then we're going to look at the benefits of understanding and so forth. And then we'll make a prayer towards the end on how to get this understanding or how to increase it in our lives. Now, God gave Daniel and his three companions. He gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. But Daniel especially, he had understanding in all visions and dreams. You can read that in Daniel chapter 1, verses 17 to 20. In that story, I mean, these young folks were, you know, carried away, Nebuchadnezzar and so forth into Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar charged his chamberlains and all his people to conduct a search, a recruitment search for people that he can bring into the palace to stand before the king. And he had some criteria that he was looking for. You know, he wanted, you know, certain things. You know, these are the things that you must look for. You know, told them that, you know, they wanted those who can learn. I mean, those who are sharp. You know, they were princes. You know, say, well, you know, get these princes and bring them in and check them out, those who can learn the knowledge and the understanding of the ways and the language of the Chaldeans, those who are sharp in sciences, and so on and so forth. You know, bring them in. So we were looking for these things in those people that they were interviewing or checking out. And he said here, you know, God gave these four children, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in verse 17 of Daniel 1, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You know, so that was a special quality, you know, in Daniel. Now, even in the things of the kingdom, Jesus was talking in this lesson of Matthew chapter 13, how understanding is so key. You know, when he was telling the story of the parable, he called it the parable of the sower. It's a couple different places in the Gospels, but let's look at this version that's in Matthew chapter 13. He told many parables in that chapter, but this particular one, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured it up, etc. So, you know the story of the sower. You know, so later on, the disciples came unto him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? Well, Jesus' answer was, well, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to them it's not given. You know, so whoever hath, to him shall be given. If you have understanding, you'll get more. If you have wisdom, you'll get more. You say, well, that's not fair. Well, that's how it works. You know, because the reason they get more is because they are always, a wise man will increase learning. They're always learning and trying to figure out more. That's why they'll get more. You know, but to them that have not, well, sometimes even that which they have shall be taken away. Well, so let's see, what does that mean? Well, he said, hear ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and this is verse 18 of Matthew 13, and understandeth it not, then what happens? Then comes the wicked one and catches it out of their heart. So understanding is so key, you know, and that's like you say, well, if understanding comes from the word of God, how can I get understanding, you know, when I hear the word of God? And I don't understand it. It's kind of like you're going around in circles. But what Jesus is saying here is this. Even for you to understand the things of the kingdom, it's not head knowledge. You know, it's understanding. If you hear the message of the kingdom, well, if you do not understand it, what's going to happen next? The devil will come, catch it away from your heart. You say, well, This is the seed that fell by the wayside. They heard the gospel, but it was the gospel of the kingdom, the word of the kingdom. And they didn't understand it. So the devil came and catched away from their heart, you know. So understanding is so key. When you hear, a message, the word of God, and you don't understand it, well, the devil's going to come and catch it away from your heart. And that's so kind of tricky, because it is the very word that's going to give you understanding. And how do you get understanding, you know, if you don't? I mean, it's kind of like you need understanding to hear the word. And if you hear the word and you don't have understanding, then you won't have any of it. So it's kind of like around, around. But what it really means is this. First, you must engage the Lord in the spirit. We talked about that all the time. You know, you'll find that in John chapter 6 and verse 63. Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. So just hearing a lesson in the flesh or using our human, you know, knowledge, It's not going to profit you anything. It is the spirit, you know, that quickeneth and quickens your mind to give you understanding. And Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So when you hear the word of God, it is so important that we get understanding. So what we need to do is, I know that the word is what's going to give me understanding, but I know that I need to have understanding, you know, to get anything out of the word. So where does that leave me? Well, that means I got to pray, you know, pray. So that's what that means. And so that the Lord will give you understanding. Understanding is also known as comprehension. You know, Paul, he loved to pray prayers for his converts and the people around him, like in the book of Ephesians. You know, let's read what he said about understanding in way of comprehension. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. And this is a good prayer for all of us to pray, you know, around this subject. He said, look, you know, I'm always praying for you that the Lord will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Acquire Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that's understand, with all the saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. You can't know it in human knowledge, but the understanding of the Spirit will cause you to know it, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's the prayer that Paul put out there, that we should pray concerning comprehension and understanding. Praise the Lord. Now, let's go further. There were scholars of the law and doctors of law and philosophy, many of them around the time of Jesus. And when he was a little boy at the age of 12, we can read that story in Luke chapter 2, verses 46 to 47. You know, they wondered, you know, the Bible wondered at his, the Bible said that they wondered at his understanding. He was such a young boy. He was only 12. You know, and you might know the story had gone with Joseph and Mary and their family to some place. And then when they were coming back, they thought he was there, 'cause a very large family. And he wasn't really there. They went a few days before they realized he wasn't in the company, and they went back to find him or to look for him. And when they did, they found him in, you know, in the temple after 3 days. And what was he doing? Well, he was reasoning with scholars, doctors of law. And so let's take a look at it. Luke chapter 2, let's take a look at verse 46. What was Christ doing and what were these people doing? Well, it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of doctors. And these were doctors of philosophy, doctors of law, and so forth. You know, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. You know, when they asked him a question, or he asked them a question, he would ask them question also. And they wondered, I mean, where in the world did he get this understanding from at age 12? And these are people that spent many years going to school and learning these things, trying to become an authority in their field. And indeed, they were in those days, doctors of law, doctors of philosophy, and so forth. But here is little Jesus at age 12, you know, showing these people real understanding. And they're like, wow, Where did he get all of this from? Well, we know where he got it from. He got it from the Lord. That's right. He got it from his father. Praise the Lord. Now, so great understanding will steer you away from being hasty to wrath. That's in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29. And that's a good lesson to learn. You know, some people are prone to being angry and stuff. Well, it's probably is because they really don't have real understanding. If they did, you know, they wouldn't act like that. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Or rather, you can say it this way, you know, when you see that someone is slow to wrath, then you can guess that it is because they have great understanding. Now, he that is hasty of spirit, it will exalt folly. You know, so understanding, that's one of the benefits. It will actually keep you from, you know, running off and shooting up from the hip and all these things and getting angry unnecessarily. Great understanding will keep you from that. A person with understanding will also know when to keep his mouth shut. Now, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 28 will tell you that. In Proverbs 17 and 28, you know, you don't always have to speak. It's not all the time. You don't always have to speak. And sometimes you have to keep quiet. It's a time to speak. You know, there's a time to be silent. You know, but a man, you know, of understanding is one who shuts his lips. You know, in fact, when you see somebody that holds his peace, they're counted to be a person of understanding. Quite unlike what people think. People think, you know, you show your understanding by blabbing your mouth. No. This scripture says, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed. A man of understanding. You know, sometimes you just be quiet like that. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, that's understanding that's behind that. Praise the Lord. Now, let's look at some more benefits of understanding. And then I'm going to explain how this concept of hindsight, insight, and foresight fits into that. You know, here's one caution for us to learn in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 20. Anyone that does not delight in getting understanding is actually called a fool. He said, a fool has no delight in understanding. That's Proverbs 18 and 12. You know, so, you know, it is important for us to really learn understanding. Let's look at some additional benefits. Just a summary of the things we've said so far. Understanding will help you to hold up the house that is built by wisdom, which means it will strengthen against the cracks. Now, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. This is new. I haven't given you this yet, but here it is. You can actually, you know, bring happiness. You say, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. They're happy. So understanding will actually, you know, create an atmosphere of happiness around your life. Isn't that wonderful? Understanding. You know, here's another one. It'll bring good things into your life. You can find that in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 8. Understanding will bring good things into your life. Wow. You know, he that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul, and he that keepeth understanding shall find good. So, understanding will actually bring good things into your life. That's why it's so important for us to have understanding at this time. Well, understanding will cause you to depart from evil. We already read that in Job chapter 28 and verse 28. Now, understanding has greater value than even silver. You'll find that in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 6. You know, the understanding, you can, I mean, what's the value of it? Well, better than even, you know, silver, you know, we are told. Praise the Lord. So, let me read that, verse to us, you know. So, what we're doing now is just the benefits, you know, some of the benefits of wisdom. I mean, sorry, of understanding. Well, you might also call it, wisdom, understanding, and so forth. You know, I lost my train of thought there. I forgot the scripture I was going to read. Anyway, let me move on. Understanding, we already read in Proverbs 14 and 29. That will keep you from being hasty to wrath. Proverbs 14 and 29. Now, what about these folks that were called the children of Issachar? What was their story? Well, in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, now Issachar, of course, you know, one of the tribes of Israel, you know, but what was the story with these people that were called the children, you know, of Issachar? What did he say about them? He said, well, the children of Issachar were men that had understanding. They understood the times. They understood seasons. And they knew what Israel ought to do. You know, and they were heads, you know, of their people, and their brethren were their commandments. So, on their understanding gave them an advantage. You know, these people who understood the times, they knew what Israel should do at different times, you know. They understood the seasons. They studied it to understand it. They didn't just understand it anyhow. You know, they got actually an advantage. They had an advantage over their brethren. Their brethren were at their commandment. That tells you that, look, if you have an understanding, it'll give you an advantage. All right. So let me now go into this lesson about, you know, looking at understanding as insight. Well, that's the other way that I describe it, is insight. And for insight, insight is actually broken into, in my own thinking, the way I bring this lesson, I break insight into three different parts. Now, consider insight as another way of looking at understanding. I'm going to give you some definitions around insight. And then again, we're going to look at insight in terms of the past, the present, and the future. So that's why yesterday when we're talking about that, triggered this in my mind that, let me bring this lesson. Insight is the capacity to gain an accurate and deep intuitive understanding or awareness of a person, a thing, or a present situation. Now, that's a mouthful. I got some of that from the dictionary, and I blended it together with some knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read that again. The capacity to gain an accurate and deep intuitive understanding. That's insight. Or awareness of a person, of a thing, of a situation. You know, that's insight. You know, when you have insight, it's a form of understanding, but it goes very, very deep. And you can gain, you know, deep understanding and awareness of a thing. Insight can also be defined as the ability to have a clear, deep, and sometimes sudden understanding of a complicated problem or situation, and the ability to have such understanding. Well, that's Job 32 verse 8 for you right there. You know, the Lord can just bring you a sudden understanding, like a light bulb that just goes on your head. I've got, you know, incredible testimonies. I'll tell you about that later. Now, so insight is the ability to have a clear, a deep, and sometimes sudden understanding of a complicated problem. You just have a, you know, insight into the thing, a complicated problem or a situation. The ability to have such understanding is called insight. Well, where does it come from? I've said that, but I want you to memorize that Job 32 and 8. It comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. That's it. Now, insight can also be seen or described as the ability to make effective choices today based on an understanding of the past and a prediction of the future. So that's how we bring this, you know, that's the connection of this lesson to yesterday's. Insight is the bridge, right? That connects an understanding of the past, you know, an understanding of the present, a prediction of the future. Have insight. You know, if you truly understand how things have been, you can have what we call, you know, in a way, it's foresight. Even science. Science even does that. Science looks at the past, you know, statistical analysis and different things. They use that for predictions. You know, they'll say, you know, the weatherman will come on TV and say, well, there's a 45% chance of rain today. What does that mean? Well, what that means is, you know, they've collected data, you know, and samples for a long time. And they match the current conditions of today to similar conditions in the past. And out of 100 times in the past, when the conditions were identical to today's condition, it rained 45 times out of those 100 times. They say, well, when this happened, when the precipitation was like, when, you know, the humidity was like this, when this was like that, when that was like this, you know, clouds were like this and all of that and so forth. And they have all this technology. 100 times in the past, when the conditions were exactly the same as what we have now, it rained 45 out of those 100 times. So they'll now make a prediction. You say, well, there is a 45% chance of rain today. Based on what they knew in the past, they now make a prediction for the future. So even science will do the same thing. Now, let's see how this, the knowledge, the cosmic, I want to call it the cosmic knowledge of the Holy Spirit. That's right. Because he knows everything that's in the world. Anything that's going on, he knows it all. You know, and let's see how we can bring it in to this lesson. Now, let's look at hindsight, insight, and foresight. Before I dive into those various aspects, let me just read one verse here. You know, in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Well, what does that mean? The vision here is actually foresight. That's what it is. You know, so the foresight is so key. But let me describe hindsight, insight, and foresight. Now, we're on the subject of insight. That's my other terminology for understanding. And insight for when you're looking back over the past is really hindsight. So the ability to gain insight from your past, which means you can gain some understanding, you can get some enlightenment, you can learn from past mistakes and so forth, or you can even build upon past successes. That's right. The past is not always filled with only mistakes. It can be filled with successes. You can learn to improve on things. And you know, this is great visionaries. That's how they did it. You know, they build on what they've done right in the past and they do it even better. That's how we have technology today. It's all based on something that was done right at one time. And then you keep on improving on it. I mean, in the information technology space today, it was all about that. You know, just a few short years ago, like 40 or so years, I mean, computers were so big, they could fill a whole room. And they couldn't even do the things that these tiny computers that can fit in your wristwatch can do today. You know, so, but what they've done is they're taking knowledge of something that worked and built upon it and kept improving upon it. So, but that's hindsight. The ability to gain insight from your past. Now, even in our lives, since we are dealing with lives here, you know, what are the things that have happened in our lives? You know, and how can we gain, you know, understanding and enlightenment for something that happened in the past? Even it might be mistakes. Or it might be successes. You know, you can even use that in the present situation and make a prediction. You know, now, David, he was able to look back with hindsight on what the Lord did for him versus the lion, and what the Lord did for him versus the bear. So, well, you know, hindsight, looking back on those successes against the lion and the bear, gave him courage for the present conflict. And was able to make a prediction. The same God that delivered the bear and the lion into my hands, he will deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hand today. And I'm going to finish him off. That was based on what had happened in the past. And he was able to build upon it. You know, now, I'm going to give you something that I call a principle, or might even be stronger. I'm going to call it a law. A law. But in a minute, let me get to that. What about foresight? You know, foresight. Hindsight is for the past, and foresight is for the future. What do we say about foresight? Well, foresight is this. This is the way I put it. The future you see today is where you can get to tomorrow. But you got to see it today. This is how visionaries operate. You got to see the thing today for you to get there. And it's a principle that works in life. Even though we are not conscious of it, we may not be thinking of it, but we're using that principle unconsciously throughout our lives. When parents try to send their kids to school and all of these things, and urging them on, encouraging them, and sometimes even forcing them to do higher education, it's because they see something in the future. And they know that, look, what you're doing today is going to be responsible for how you turn out tomorrow. Now, you know, that's very key for us to understand that. The future, when God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 13 and verses 14 to 15, he said, look, your future can be limited only by what you see today. Basically, that's another way of looking at it. God said to Abraham in Genesis 13, verses 14 to 15, said, look from the place where you are. That's your present. Remember, we're talking about past, present, future. Look from the place where you are. That's your present. Look forward. And what you can see, that's what I'm going to give it to you. But you got to see it today. So that's being like a visionary. You know, people have dreams. You got big dreams. Well, some people don't even know how to dream big. Well, you should dream big. Dream big, think big, because your God is big. Hallelujah. And look, what you can see today is what I'm going to give you tomorrow. That's right. If you don't see it, you can't get it. So see it by the eye of faith, and believing will get you there. I've taught these lessons here, but you must see it today. Now, you know, those who are working hard, even for youngsters, you know, I'm telling them, look, you know, you need to work hard. Those who are working hard, you know, trying to develop themselves, that, you know, in college and these things and so forth, they are trying to build a better tomorrow. That's why we go to school and so forth. You know, some people spend many years, depending on their discipline, in school, you know, to prepare to come out for something, put themselves in the marketplace, give themselves an advantage. Now, the choices you make today will shape your tomorrow. You know, and today you're living in some of the results of some of the choices you made in the past. This is how life operates. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, past, present, and future. Where you are today may be a result or a combination of some choices you made in the past, or at least those choices you made in the past could be contributing factors. At the very least, they can be contributing factors to where you are today. You know, if you are in engineering, you're in science, you're a doctor, you're, you know, entrepreneur, you're in business, you're whatever. You know, some of those choices that you made in the past to go to school for those things is why you are able to be where you are today. And it goes in every aspect of life. If you are married today, it's because you made a choice to marry that woman or to marry that man. You know, and if your marriage is good and flourishing, it could be because some of the choices you made along the way to be intentional in servicing that marriage. If there's a breakdown, it could be because you neglected, you know, to service it. See, I mean, so you can see that all of these things, what we've done in the past, have a bearing on where you are. And let me say it to you this way. Even when you've screwed up in the past and brought you to the wrong place today, now you still have the chance today of making better choices for a better outcome tomorrow. So this is how hindsight, insight, and foresight work. I haven't really talked about insight yet, but I will. So we've seen the hindsight and we've seen the foresight. Now, it is important for us to make the right choices today. Before I get to those choices, you know, let me talk to you about insight. And here's a law that I want to give you. And you can write this down. And I think I said this, kind of said it, or alluded to it yesterday. You will never be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. Whether that past was filled with failure or success or both, doesn't matter. If it was failure, which people call failure, you know, I prefer to not call it failure, but some people call it failure, disappointment, you know, and so on, losses and all that. Okay, well, if it was the negative, let's just use negative and positive. If it was the negative and you live in those negative, well, it'll prevent you from moving forward. You got to figure out a way to channel that energy to do better. Now, and if you did better and you rested on your oars, then if you did well and you had some limited successes, but you rest on your oars, then you'll never do any better. So even scientists, like I said, they're always constantly trying to improve their products. You know, that's why even in cars, the automobile industry, they're always coming out with new versions. new versions. They had something that already worked, you know, and we call it the minimum viable product. They come out with an MVP, minimum viable product, not the most valuable player, but the minimum viable product. Come out with something that works. And it works, and you put it out there. It doesn't have the bells and whistles, but it works. And then you take the thing that works, and you refine it. You know, you don't throw it away, but you make it better. So you keep building on the minimum viable product that you can get out there quickly to work. And you build on it and make it a little better. You wanted to build a caravan, say, and you start out with this overgrown, you know, something that looks like a scooter, an overgrown scooter. It's a big flat bed. You know, all it has is, you know, the steering wheel. Doesn't even have a place for you to sit. You have to stand, but it has this flatbed and it has tires. Well, it works. It can move you around, but you're standing. It's not comfortable, you know, but it works. Well, you take that, you build up on top of it. Maybe you put some seats in. And now you can see that it's a bit better. And then it works, but it's still not there. Well, okay, later you decide to build a cabin around the front of it. So at least, you know, the front is comfortable, but the back is still an open flatbed, you know. Now, yeah, this thing, the evolving of this thing can turn out to a beautiful caravan later on, but it just is pieces of it. And then you build that, and then it works. Then you say, well, you know, maybe I need more seats in the back. Then you carve out a little portion of that and so forth. And maybe you build something that covers it. But the whole time it is working. And later on, you decide to put in, you know, the bell, you know, whistles and bells. You know, you put, you know, rear view mirrors and so forth. You know, and today, in today's technology, you start to put different things also. You put air conditioning, you put this, you put computers, you put cameras, you put all kinds of things. You build AI into the thing. But they start out with something that was working. It was the knowledge that was already working, the understanding they had, and they continue to build on it, and build on it, and build on it, and build on it. And let me say this right here. Spiritual maturity, that's right. Spiritual maturity demands that you take what you've learned at one phase and keep moving forward and adding to it. Not throw away. Can't throw away anything. You know, you must add to it. You can't say, oh, I want to now know about the thunders. I want to know the mysteries of God. I want to know those things that were hidden that John was commanded not to write. And then you throw away the basic principles of love your neighbor as yourself, forgive, and all these things. No, you throw all those away and you want to learn the mysteries, it's not going to work. You got to take those building blocks along with you. And the Lord showed this to me one time. It was like, it was, I call it the parable of the kingdom, my parable. And I love parables because I love parables. The Holy Spirit gave me many parables of my own. And here is one. The kingdom of God is like, you know, a man that must climb several flights of stairs. And along the way, they got to pick up some jewels or something, ornaments or some prize. So you climb the first set of stairs, you get to a landing, you pick something up. And then you think you're done, but the next thing, you know, you look up and there's more to climb. Say, oh my goodness. And then you start to climb more. And at each time, you got to pick something up at the landing, and then you go to the next one. And if you drop the thing, you got to go back and get it, because you must carry it along. And that's spiritual maturity. And here's how Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 1. He said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides all this, giving all diligence, add, you know, not take away, not throw away what you already have and then say, I'm going to acquire something. That's not going to work. Add to what you already have. You started with faith. Everybody needs faith to even be saved, you know. So add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge, add to knowledge temperance, add to temperance patience, add to patience godliness, add to godliness brotherly kindness, add to brotherly kindness charity or law. You got to add to these things. So, back to the law of insight. hindsight and foresight. You know, you will never, and this is not being negative, this is calling it as it is. You'll never be better than you were if you fail to move beyond your past. If you live in the past, let's assume that the past was bad, you know, and then you just wallow in that and the devil put it over you, then you'll never be better than that. So, you know, the devil tell you stay down because you're already knocked to the canvas. So just stay down there. That's what the devil wants. And so if you are thinking of all of those failures, then you stay down. You know, but Micah said in Micah chapter 7 and verse 8, I will not stay down. I might have fallen in the past, but that was yesterday. Today will be better. I'm going to get up today and I'm going to move forward. Now, so if you do not move beyond your past, you will not do any better than the past, whether the past was good or bad. You know, so, but you got to press forward. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 15 says, why are you standing here crying unto me? They were at the Red Sea. Commander-in-chief said, go forward. You got to go forward. You cannot, look, you cannot stay and be, you know, crying over the past. You can learn from it. And we talked about this extensively yesterday. Learn from it. But you got to move on. Praise the Lord. You know, and even Paul, even for good things, you know, he said, look, in Philippians chapter 3 and 14, he said, look, you know, I'm constantly pressing forward. Even though I've done some great things, but I don't count myself to have arrived yet. You know, I'm constantly pressing forward. You know, that's the principle. You must press forward. Keep pressing forward. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ in Christ Jesus. If you read it from verse 13, say, look, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not arrived. You know, even though I've done some great things, I haven't arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. This is the principle. You can, if you dwell in those things, you will not move forward. You got to forget those things and then move forward, reaching forward onto those things that are before. That's how you do it. You got to push forward. Look, I tell you another story about, what's his name? Moses. Moses was a man that had seen incredible things like nobody else had seen from the Lord. You know, he had the encounter with the pillar of fire in Exodus chapter 3, the burning bush and all of that. I mean, he'd seen and heard the voice of God. He's done creative miracles in the land of Egypt. I mean, he's done, and then he's seen the singular, most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament, the parting of the Red Sea. He saw it, you know, and, but finally, this same Moses, you know, he's asking the Lord, show me your glory. And I'm thinking, well, you mean all those things were not glory? I mean, Moses was not satisfied, even though he had seen all those things, you know. And in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 18, he's still praying after all those things. Lord, show me thy glory. You see, that's how you press forward. You know, Moses could have said, well, you know, I've seen the burning bush. I've seen miracles in Egypt. You know, I've seen the parting of the Red Sea. You know, I'm way up here. No, he said, Lord, I don't know anything yet as I ought to know. You know, show me your glory. And that's how you push forward. So you got to keep pushing forward. So ladies and gentlemen, you know, bringing it all together, you know, yes, sometimes God will have you remember the past. You know, it's so that you can learn from it and push forward. Well, let's see what God says in a couple of different places, you know, in the book of Isaiah. And like I said, I love this book of Isaiah. You know, God will tell us, sometimes he'll tell you to remember the past so that you can learn from it, you know, but sometimes he'll also tell you to forget the past, you know, and move forward, you know. So you should, we talked about this yesterday, you should remember the past. For two reasons. Learn from the mistakes so you don't do the same thing again. And improve as number one. Number two, also improve on lessons learned. I mean, even victories or limited successes, you know, so you can use the past for those things. But then, you know, there is a point in time when you must move on. You cannot just sit in the past. In the book of Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, the Lord said, look, remember ye not the former things. And in that place he said, well, call the former things to remembrance. But here he said, look, leave that alone. Leave those things alone. You know, don't even consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. You know, so this is what this lesson is about. Yes, there was whatever in the past, but, you know, it is time to move on. You got to move on. You know, you've got to move on to greater things. And that's something that the Lord has promised us for this year. The way he has promised it, it's the Spirit of the Lord that's going to do it. But how in the world is he going to do it? If we, you know, just all, you know, all the time moping on, you know, things of the past. We have got to move on. Praise the Lord. I mean, I'll do a new things. Isaiah, speaking for the Lord, that's what he said. He said, I will do a new thing. Glory to God. You know, and he says, shall ye not know it? You know, I will even tell you of it. What the Lord already told you is going to do a quantum leap in your life. You know, but you can't get there if you just sit around the past. The Lord is going to do a new thing. It's a new thing that's coming from the Lord. Now, here is Isaiah 42 and verse 9. Behold, the former things are come to pass. You know, the past is, it already happened. But new things, he said, new things I do declare. And before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Hallelujah. So if you take this verse, Isaiah 42 and verse 9, if you take it along with Isaiah 43 verses 18 and 19, you will see that the Lord is telling us that, look, no matter what's happened in the past, I'm going to do a new thing for you now. Hallelujah. I mean, even to the extent that he said, I can even make rivers in the desert. I can make crooked things straight. You know, I can do all these things. Praise the Lord. And the Lord is the one that is promising us and challenging us even to believe him for greater things. So what you going to do? What's it going to be? I'm going to leave today's lesson there. But it's a series, and I'm calling it the Inspire series. I'm going to come back by the grace of God, continue tomorrow. Let me read this to you in Isaiah 43. And verse 18. So don't forget, take Isaiah 42 and 9. Take this one also, 43, 18 and 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Hallelujah. He said, look, behold, I will do a new thing. And it shall spring forth. And shall ye not know it? Because I will tell you, even before it happens. That's what the Lord said in Isaiah 42. But he won't tell you exactly how. He will just give you enough for you to be in anticipation and excitement. I mean, here's some of the things. I will even make a way in the wilderness. Well, how is he going to do? I don't know. And neither should you care. But he said he will do it. I will make rivers in the desert. Praise the Lord. So let me leave the lesson of understanding there. And just summarize the things we have learned. The reason we brought this lesson today is because yesterday we were dealing on past, present, and future, or yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And understanding is so key in that space. You know, a part of understanding deals with not only the present, but it also deals with the past. It also deals with the future. When it's past, we call it hindsight. When it's present, we call it insight. And when it's future, I call it foresight. When you have all these together, you know, you've got a complete repertoire, you know, to face life. Praise the Lord. So, this is the prayer we're going to pray at the end. We're going to pray and say, Lord, give me this pillar of understanding. I mean, this pillar of wisdom that's called understanding and insight in my life. You know, let my life be filled with the inspiration of the Almighty through, you know, daily digestion of His word, of that word. That's the prayer. So I'm going to take that prayer point and I invite you to pray along. This is the way when I do the wisdom series, we teach the wisdom, we give the, you know, definitions, we give the benefits, we give the stories, we give the this and that. And at the end, we pray. Because the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him pray. So at the end, we pray and the Lord will give us this pillar of wisdom. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for what we have read concerning understanding today. And it is indeed a pillar of wisdom. And I pray, Lord, for myself and all my brethren that are in the room with us today and those that may listen later on, grant us, Lord, this insight into things. And even in spiritual things, we can have a deep insight into the things of deity. We can have deep insight. Lord can give it to you. I pray, Lord, give us understanding to know that we should, I mean, how that we should always pray and seek the Lord for His illumination. You promise also in the Word of God that the inspiration of the Almighty is the one that's going to give us understanding. And again, that understanding comes from your Word. And we thank you for these tools, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and so forth, that you've given us to be able to garnish knowledge and understanding. I pray that the inspiration of the Almighty will be with each person here to bring forth incredible insight, sudden understanding of complicated situations, and a spirit of deep discernment even into things in the past, and the ability to foresee the future. A prudent man foreseeth the evil by foresight, according to Proverbs 22 and 3, and he hides himself. Thank you, Lord, for this discussion today. We give you the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.